Hi and hello. Welcome, good friends, better friends and enemies to the RBR.music podcast. Here you'll find the creator of the RBR.music Instagram page, Jordan Murray. And of course, myself, Steve Curley, taking a deep dive into music documentaries. It's our mission to cut through the noise, to discuss the sound and vision.
Yep, The Two Killings of Sam Cooke. So before we get started, I'd like to point out, we watched this, me and young Stephen, on a train journey to Newcastle, which was a good few hours. And rather than talk to each other, we watched this and we had Status Audio headphones in our earlugs and the sound was absolutely perfect. It was, you think you know wireless headphones? Well, check out Status Audio. That you can find Status Audio on the Instagram tag Status Audio. So please do give them a look. Absolutely outstanding headphones. So The Two Killings of Sam Cooke. The growing impact in black society and the influence in America going through the civil rights movement, with black people in the South still suffering segregation and inequality, was round about the time where he was killed. And what other way to discuss these deep, meaningful parts of history than two middle-class, middle-aged white guys? Woo!
Very true.
Middle class? Are we middle class? I don't know. I was meant to say middle age straight away, but it just came out middle class. So there you go. Whatever. The Two Killings of Sam Cooke is a program of multiples, a film which plays with doubles. It begins almost as if it will become a true crime investigation into a life cut short, moves into a more traditional music documentary, then ends on a defiant, powerful cry that his story and his death should still be so relevant. The two killings set up the title are of his physical being and that of his legacy. Kelly Duane, the director, unfortunately, devotes very little time to the murder and the circumstances surrounding it, instead preferring to focus on Cooke's career, life and influences. So I bought into this title as, ooh, this is going to talk about his murder and possibly try and figure out why or who murdered him. But that didn't actually happen. It was more about his legacy. That is not to say the documentary is bad. It is, for the most part, a very engaging film. It is just that the title of the documentary gives one a very different expectation. What the documentary does very well is to tell us about Cooke's musical journey and how focused he was in politics and his beliefs. His talent as a singer was discovered early and he was a star in his 20s, his good looks helping him to cross over to white audiences in a time when segregation was still commonplace. His father was a pastor and used to take his children around to churches to sing. Sam, like a lot of black singers from that era, started with gospel music, later singing as a part of a group. Sorry. Just out of interest, can you hear somebody whistling? No. So listeners, I'm in the RBR studio and my daughter who's four has just learned how to whistle. So I've asked her to be very quiet, and as soon as I've started speaking, she's decided to practice a whistling. So if you hear someone whistling, it's very possibly my sister. My sister? What? My Possibly. It's very possibly my daughter. Anyway, there we go. Sorry. Where was I? Yeah, later, singing as a part of a group, the Soul Stirrers, Cook gained fame throughout the black community. His family moved north to Chicago to get away from the still racially oppressive South when he travelled around with the Soul Stirrers. As a young adult heading back to the South, he saw and experienced how very differently black people were treated there. According to those who knew Cook, the murder of Emmett Till had a profound effect on him. Emmett Till was a young black boy, 14 years old, who was lynched and beaten to death because he had allegedly whistled at a white woman. Till's death and the savagery of it triggered not only Cook, but most of black America. Many believe it was the catalyst for the civil rights movement. Rock and roll was beginning to come to prominence across America, and the youth were embracing it. Cook was reluctant, like a lot of black acts and singers who came from gospel singing, to cross over to rock and roll. Amongst church communities, rock and roll was considered the devil's music. He knew if he crossed over to rock and roll, he could never go back. He also knew what he wanted. He wanted to be famous and be able to reach a lot of people and help his people. He would not be able to do that with gospel music. On his first foray into rock and roll and pop, getting away from gospel music, he did not use his first name, instead going under the name Dale Cook. His next song catapulted him to national stardom. You Send Me was a hit. It got him invited to the Ed Sullivan Show and had black people gathering around television sets, televisions not being common in black households at the time, to see him. He got invited onto American Bandstand by Dick Clark. American Bandstand was a show that was perhaps the most influential music show for young people at the time. The Ku Klux Klan did not want him going on the show. They threatened to blow up the studio if Sam Cooke appeared on that show. They also threatened Cooke. Dick Clark had his reservations, but went ahead anyway. Cooke appeared on American Bandstand and catapulted him to more notoriety and fame. Cooke got married and moved to California, closer to the mecca of television and film. He continued to appear on television. He was becoming very successful and was only second to Elvis Presley in record sales. He was famous. Sam did not like that as a black performer, with all of his fame, he would still be invited to play at venues where segregation was a thing. He refused to play at such venues and stopped playing in segregated states. He would go on to meet other prominent black men of this time, Muhammad Ali, who at that time went under the name of Cassius Clay, and Malcolm X. Cook started a record company and understood that controlling the music and the rights to the music was where the money was. He also wanted to protect black artists, many of whom had been burnt by record companies, giving them contracts that did not benefit them at all. Even as a person who understood this, Cook was not immune to getting ripped off himself and found himself unwittingly in an unfavourable contract drawn up by Alan Klein. Cook's popularity kept growing, his friendship with Ali and Malcolm X bringing him to the attention of the FBI, who were watching both men. Cook's crossover appeal was admired by the money men, but his refusal to leave his black roots behind did not sit well with them. Cook wanted to create a black music agency, organized crime, the mob, whose tentacles tended to be in anything that made money, tried to discourage him. The death of his son, Vincent, by drowning, really affected Cook, and he plunged himself into work. He also started seeing other women his marriage suffered. He made a deal with RCA as a subsidiary of their label. This was the deal that involved Klein. When he found that Klein was ripping him off, he had planned to fire him. Unfortunately, He was killed before he would see Klein again. His death, murder, happened in strange circumstances. He was shot by a black woman, Bertha Franklin, who claimed Cook had forced his way into her room and was harassing her. Franklin had been the manager at the hotel Cook had gone to that night with another woman, Lisa Boyer, who accused Cook of trying to kidnap her and had escaped, taking his clothes. Cook had allegedly been looking for Boyer when Franklin shot him. Franklin got off with justifiable homicide. The issue with Duane's documentary, for me, is the title. I found out more about his death reading Wikipedia than I did from watching the documentary. It may be because the documentary is quite short at only 74 minutes long, or the focus on his music career. But there really is not a great deal about one death, let alone two. The two killings of Sam Cooke is definitely worth watching, but do not watch it hoping to gain any clarity around the mystery surrounding his death. This film will not give you that. So, that being said, what was your take on this documentary, Stevie?
My surmise of the documentary, George, I think you've said.
Oh, I often do a good surmise, Stephen.
But you've summed up.
That's what I'm renowned for.
You've certainly summed up all the points, and I suppose, hopefully, you've given enough to some people decide to watch it or not that we didn't have, because I think we both went into this quite blind.
Yeah, I was very excited about. On the rbr.music Instagram page that we do, I put on a Sam Cooke reel, and it got a lot of traction, a lot of comments, and all about his killings. And I knew that he was killed, and I knew a lot about him, his history of him, his musical legacy, should I say. And so when I saw this documentary, I was like, oh, here you are, let's learn about this. And that's why I put it to you to watch.
Yeah, and I think for anyone who doesn't know, or you know, has yet to sort of explore, it's part of a bit of a mini series on Netflix called Remastered. And I would say the general approach towards the subject matter on each of these is kind of a bit of mystery and a bit of a lore towards an artist. There's the Bob Marley story, there's Robert Johnson, there's quite a few. And I think the point is that they are trying to circle around a little bit of dark and a lore and mystery to, you know, well-known artists that, you know, maybe you don't know the story. I think, like you said, the title slightly misleading because you don't really find out much about his death. It's summed up in about less than 15 minutes at the end, really. The documentary takes a bigger lead on, as you said, George, Cook's kind of his want to make change and address, you know, terrible things that were going on in America at the time, and things that he saw. And you know, he grew up in the Great Depression and didn't grow up with any luxuries or anything around him, and you see so much more of that, which I enjoyed watching. I just did tip up thinking I was going to be kind of understanding why and how he died. I suppose, to give the director a little bit of credit, maybe the preamble to the sort of, you know, the storytelling is possibly all of that is what built towards the end of the story, if that makes sense. You know, you sort of need to know this.
It's almost like the producers got excited, like the pitch to the producers to make this was like the two killings of Sam Cooke. It's like, oh, this sounds interesting. Yeah, we'll go with this, make that documentary. But it wasn't really what the director wanted to make. He wanted to make the story of Sam Cooke. It just seems so, why would you lead with that title? I found it very annoying.
Well, and I suppose, you know, it being part of a Netflix series, maybe the director and the writers haven't really had much choice, and maybe you need to have that hook. You know, you're competing with a huge amount of self-generated content on Netflix, let alone every other platform that's out there. So, yeah, I think if you take this as a documentary to understand Sam Cooke's life, and you could know a lot or a little, it doesn't really matter because you'll take something from it. I mean, artistically, creatively, visually, it's actually really nice. A lot of old footage, lots of old imagery being used and circulated around the storytelling, and it all looks fantastic. And you wouldn't expect anything less from something backed by Netflix, because generally they're polished and finished really well. I just felt that, weirdly, you said it not being a long documentary, it isn't a long enough documentary to tell the life story of Sam Cooke. But actually, if they were to play true to the title of the documentary, they could tell the death
in that
of
time,
Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
They could tell that in 40. Well, they could tell it in half. They could say it in 45 minutes. If it was a more of a miniseries, short, you know, at the end of the day, you sat on the internet reading more and more, you know, you probably didn't take more than 25 minutes.
27.
Do you know what I mean? Sorry, beg your pardon. So to the point of, if you're going to focus on Sam Cooke's death, not his life, great, that's fine. That's part of something to be told.
But what really annoys me is the title, as the listeners are probably clear about that now. It was the last 12 minutes of the documentary was about his death.
Yeah.
I was watching the documentary and I was like, well, when are we going to get to his death here? And then, like, I paused it to see, like, to see how long I've been watching it. And then I was like, well, we're not going to have much time to wrap up his death here. And it was the last 12 minutes. I'm like, are you messing? Why have you called it the two killings of Sam Cooke when you're only going to focus on his life?
Well, it's funny you say that, because one of the other I've already watched the Robert Johnson one, which is called Devil at the Crossroads. Weirdly enough, it was only really the last bit of that you got to be exposed to the allure of Robert Johnson. So
what that was all about.
Yeah, yes. So it's almost like, again, I've only watched two and I can't speak, you know, it'd be unfair to speak otherwise, but Devil at the Crossroads.
It's like a headline.
Yeah,
it's like a headline on an internet page, on a website, and that's just as, what's it called when they reel you in? It's like
it's a hook.
Clickbaiting. Yeah. That's exactly what this documentary is. It's very interesting about his life, but it's nothing that I wanted to watch because I was wanting to watch about his death. Well, that sounds a bit morbid. I wanted to learn about how he was killed, which is even more morbid. So there you go.
No, I think it's fair. Then it's, you know, it's part of history, and you know, you can't sort of fight against what's actually happened. But yeah, you are right. So I think the first thing to sort of highlight is actually this is more of a story of Sam Cooke from beginning to end. There is some really, really well established people who appear doing talking heads and Vox Pop moments. Quincy Jones, Smokey Robinson, yep. Dionne Warwick. It's backed by a good narrative, kind of real life piece from people who will have been.
And time has not healed. When they open up about him, there's tears in their eyes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're very affected by it.
I've always listened to Sam Cooke. My mum and dad have always had Sam Cooke in the car, and you know, part of our journeys was, you know, Otis Redding, Sam Cooke and Marvin. It was always sort of easy and available to me. However, one thing that I suppose never really hit home and I didn't really understand was, even taking away the sort of, you know, the battle and the movement to kind of make change and all that kind of stuff, I didn't realise Sam Cooke was as well thought of as this documentary paints. And that's not, I'm really happy to hear that, because
well, they say he was like the black Frank Sinatra, which doesn't rest easy on my shoulders, because I think Nat King Cole was probably the black Frank Sinatra. If you want to draw up comparisons, like your own person, you don't have to be whatever. But I think as much as I'm a fan of Sinatra, Sam Cooke was more of a trailblazer for his own community, fighting for the rights of his communities. Although Frank Sinatra did, you know, welcome in a segregated time, you know, he was with Sammy Davis Jr. He, you know, he hung out all the time and promoted black rights and whatnot. So maybe, yeah, I'm just contradicting myself here, but I do think Sam Cooke wanted to be more than an entertainer. Sinatra was an entertainer. He was a film star. Where Sam Cooke wanted to be bigger and help more people with his fame. And I think it's a shame, like with many stars that die young, it's a shame we couldn't see the progression of how that was all going to turn out. Like, that's the interesting bit for me.
Well, I think as well, when you step into kind of wanting to create your own record company and sort of look at creating your own label and stuff, and they talk about this too, documentary, that, you know, he was much more than, you know, the musician he would have been allowed to have been at the time as a young man, if that makes sense, because, you know, the record industry at the time was led generally probably by middle-aged white men. And there's always obviously talk in America that a lot of the record label industry was governed heavily by a mafia backdrop as well, and, you know, ruled by kind of, you know, a hard rule of what to follow. So I think he wanted to break out and do things differently, and I'm pretty sure that there will be many young people that have followed Sam Cooke and have gone and done it and actually, you know, broken away from the norm and stuff like that. I think you need people like Sam Cooke to kind of trailblaze the way forward. Unfortunately, different times and horrible things happening in different eras, which, you know, we certainly can't change, but we must acknowledge that have fallen into, you know, helping make change. And obviously one of Sam Cooke's most famous songs, I believe, was only released after he died, and it's only looking back at
a change is gonna come.
Yeah, and it's only looking back at the lyrics and the content of what that song was, how far he probably would have and did, in reflection, take
stands,
kind of,
yeah,
you know, a political, social stand and music change. Yeah, I think, you know, it's and obviously the thing that, like you said, got him rallied.
Yeah, the 14-year-old boy, yeah.
Death of the young fella. Yeah. And it was, you know, an awful kind of, you know, story. I actually didn't know that. So again, there's lots of things in this documentary that you probably will, you know, pick up on if you haven't, you know, sort of been sort of deep into the Sam Cooke life backdrop. But I think if we're going to sit down our usual kind of realm, I do stick by the fact that I do think it's been really well put together and it is well presented. The one thing I would say too, that I don't think it's wonderfully artistic. I think it's a really traditional documentary style. It's got some great old footage and it's got some good talking pieces, and the narrative does flow. For 75 minutes, you are entertained on the whole. I would say that we've discussed other documentaries of a more modern stylistic take, and we've seen obviously lots of illustration menus we've talked about and other ways of telling the story. I don't think this documentary has any of those elements. I think it sits down a very traditional storytelling route. Images are strong, storyline is strong, and the sound bites around it are strong. And I suppose that's not a criticism, it's just an awareness that you're not going to put this on and it's not groundbreaking in its style. Oddly enough, one of the other documentaries that I watched in the series, the Robert Johnson one, they do go down a little bit more down that new stylistic kind of illustration creative.
Right.
So the, obviously...
Is that the same director?
No, it's a different director. I think his name
is... So each episode of this, what's it called? Remastered documentary series. Is a different director.
I think so, yeah. But it's... Mm-hmm. I think they're all kind of, like I said, the mystique is there. So that's probably the underlining theme. But yeah, I don't I don't, again, I don't think that's a criticism, and at the end of the day, it's not a bad thing or a good thing. It's just what it is. And then you wouldn't want them all to be, you know, the same story and the same style. You want to have, you know, context in your story.
So it is like a magazine piece. Because it's just different authors, but different directors, you know. It's very... Well, it's not easy to watch because, you know, it was all about segregation and young boy getting killed and stuff.
Well, I think the other thing to note is, you know, if you're telling a story about Sam Cooke, I think there's quite a lot of content that existed of Sam Cooke. I think when you're trying to tell a story about Robert Johnson, there isn't any content. He was a very, you know...
Yeah, it's very mythologized, Sam Cooke. Robert Johnson. Yeah,
where Sam Cooke obviously was very much within the public eye and you could see stuff. So obviously you'd have to make that documentary slightly different. You can't do it in the same way. I think famously Robert Johnson, there is only one image of him with the famous smoking with a guitar. Is that right, George?
There's actually three. Okay. There was two for years upon years upon years. And recently, I don't know, a couple of years ago, they found a third one that's been seen by specialists as it's actually a real one. But yeah, the most famous one is the one with the cigarette drooping out of his mouth, which is quite amusing. Not amusing, but like, just think of all the blues men and rock stars that have copied that look from that one picture with the cig dangling from the
mouth. Again, that's I suppose that's the funny thing, and sort of reverting back to my point of this documentary allows itself to be more traditionally built because it has the footage, it has the storytellability, where maybe other ones, and now I'm going to work my way through the whole series actually, because I have enjoyed this and I do, you know, I think the content's really solid and I think it's very kind of,
Other reviewing platforms like Rotten Tomatoes and websites of that ilk have absolutely praised this documentary, like 5 stars out of 5, which it is an interesting documentary. It's just very misleading from its title.
Yeah, and we've not been able to get past that. I think that's the conversation we've had a few times. Maybe that's.
I'm very rigid in my thought. Like, you're telling me you're giving me something, and it's like saying I'm going to have steak in, you know, I'm going to have a steak dinner, and you're giving
a mushroom steak.
Yeah. You're just giving like a yogurt or something. It's like, this is not what I ordered.
But I think, to be fair to the listeners, look, I think, you know, you'll hear that in our work, and we'll probably beat ourselves because we do, but ultimately we do back this documentary. It's really, really enjoyable, and you know, Sam Cooke's a fascinating character. If you've never heard or understood or listened to anything of Sam Cooke, watch this. It will give you so much in a very short space of time. You hear a lot of his music through it. I think Sam Cooke's music is better listened to in isolation anyway, personally, but you will have heard lots of Sam Cooke music being used in many other forms as well, you know, movies and television. You know, a real, real talented vocalist. You know,
considering how big he was and how well he sold, and he was like second best to Elvis, I do think he's been forgotten throughout the ages.
Well, I think forgotten. Yeah, I think he is a bit more niche when you think about artists coming out of America with different sounds. It doesn't matter if they were black or white. It was kind of Sam Cooke dying, probably as it would do, of course, it paused his career. And of course, the allure of a dead artist will always, you know, have some catchment, but there were possibly other musicians.
But it hasn't grown. It hasn't made him, when someone dies or gets killed or whatever, it seems to grow their mystique, doesn't it?
But it could.
When you die young, it hasn't really for Sam Cooke.
Could that be maybe down to time? And I think sometimes, and I'm not saying this is the case.
Well, you say that. Look at Robert Johnson. Like, yeah, he's got his record.
I know. I think there's just the element of, you know, Robert Johnson is an extreme allure, you know, but people don't even really know what they know, where we knew enough. And maybe, I think Sam Cooke was 33 when he died. Can't remember the exact year, but maybe other artists who were, you know, equally as talented as him and you know, who kind of took his place quite quickly. And maybe that's why there's a bit of a 40-year generational gap of Sam Cooke loving. However, I did read something, I can't give the exact figure, so don't quote me, but he's one of the most covered artists by street performers and buskers and YouTube artists, because the vocals are so wild. People want to show off their vocal skill sets.
Ah, the vocal range.
Because he's got this great range to him.
Interesting.
And generally his songs were...
Have you just made that up, Steve?
No. I saw something and went on and read about it.
I can buy into it, yeah.
But it makes sense.
Quite very interesting.
But yeah, I think for me, storytelling...
And the second one is Tina Turner. So, you know, take that as you please. No, I've just made that up.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, a documentary should entertain, and this does. I enjoyed watching it. I've watched it three times now. The first time was a little bit harder. Probably because, again, you're kind of learning a few things that are not wonderfully comfortable. We all know what sort of America was in the sort of 30s, 40s and 50s. But
segregation.
Yeah. And again, the... people who partake in the documentary come from it from a real kind of understanding. So you kind of do get educated throughout the process. And I think that's really important. Because,
yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, 100%. And we mentioned a couple of the well-known musicians that kind of talk on it. But actually, there's loads of writers and activists and people who kind of were there to tell the story behind Sam Cooke, Black Movement and all that kind of stuff. And I think... Again, you need to have that because
it's backed up. You can't just randomly just say stick out a statistic or a point without backing it up. So yeah, it is good to have these people talking about it, especially how famous they were back in the day. I mean, Smokey Robinson's still a household name. Well, it is in my house. So I think. What hit me really hard with this documentary, and it was near the end, the reason I watched it, is that there was a total failure to investigate the case properly at the time. That Cooke was just another black man at the mercy of an uncaring world that was still trapped in the collective memory of slavery and of Jim Crow justice. The message is that black lives just didn't matter then, or... If they did matter, it was because they were problematic to the white ruling classes. Cooke's death, from watching the documentary, Cooke's death came at a pivotal time. A year later, Malcolm X was assassinated, followed by Martin Luther King. A further 3 years after that, things were to change, but this came at the expense of those who died for a new world. We are all too aware that black lives are still under threat. I read Rennie Graham of the Boston Globe powerfully reminds us of a change is going to come. It is a shame that song should still be so relevant today. And that gets pointed out in the documentary. A change is going to come is relevant, and all these deaths, like watching the documentary, it is still hard hitting that it's still happening across the world. It's worth fighting for, like a good world, a kind of better world, but we don't seem to learn from our mistakes. And that is one of the takeaways I got from watching this documentary.
Yeah, and I echo everything you've just said to sort of sum everything up. And that's something we must sort of note, and we can end on it from a documentary sort of storytelling point of view, that there's so much more within this documentary that's beyond music. Music's often a great vessel for message, change your communications, but actually, you know, it can only take you so far. And I think the Sam Cooke story kind of tells that really well. And you have to do something a little bit more, be braver. And he was, and it was unfortunately to his demise, really, sadly. But you would like to think that, again, some form of change is kind of, well, I suppose has happened and will continue to happen, but it is...
I mean, things have improved. There's obviously no segregation, but there's still...
Absolutely. And I think, yeah, I mean, it's fairly relevant and prevalent now within, especially US news and stuff like that. You know, it's still, you know, these stories of, you know, terrible things going on are still in existence. And until they're not, you know, that change won't have met its need. You know what I mean? It isn't enough of a change. So, And the documentary does sort of, it ends on that as well. I think for me, much, much more than just a music documentary, gives you a sort of snippet into a quite dark and depressing past in US. A really enlightening story of a man who decided to try and do something different and try and, you know, make it a better world, as you put it, George. So I would definitely recommend this as a watch. It's not massively hard hitting in that regard. Yes, there are times a little bit uncomfortable, of course, but, you know, you're not going to come away from it kind of, you know, sort of feeling, you feel entertained. You certainly are entertained and you enjoy how the story unwraps itself. So I suppose at this point...
I just think it leaves you with more questions about his death.
Yeah.
Which you need to go and Google and learn yourself. So the documentary doesn't offer any... It just tells you the facts of he was killed under mysterious circumstances.
Yeah.
There's
no opinion or kind of a deep dive beyond that point. Well, I suppose at this point, you know, George, where would you give it your star rating?
It's a good documentary. I knew a fair bit about him. I enjoy before I got watching this documentary. I really enjoyed the Talking Heads. They got superstars of the era there. Really nice, really thoughtful pieces. Very enjoyable. My gripe, as we've all learnt, is the title was so misleading. I couldn't get over the facts that it didn't really have anything to do with his mysterious death. It's like he's a superstar. I mean, you look at certain actors and superstars, they do strange things. Sam Cooke, top of his game, he ended up taking a prostitute back to a motel room. And that's how he found his demise. I mean, it's possibly that's what happened. And basically, a lot of people have said that it was all a plan by the mob to get him out of this bar and get him killed because he was getting too big for his boots. It just seems very... It was just so annoying that the last 12 minutes were devoted to... This is mysterious death. So for that reason, pretty much that reason only, I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5.
Fair enough. I would agree as well. And I think if you can get past the kind of slightly misleading title to what you're going to hear about Sam Cooke, you'll watch a great documentary that's really enjoyable and certainly worth 3.5 RBR star rating. So... Cheers, George, and thanks again for your insight this episode. And to you guys, thanks so much for listening. It means the world to us. It really does. If you do have any suggestions for the future documentaries, please do contact us or message us via the rbr.music Instagram page. We wholeheartedly enjoy your input. It's actually your input that drives us on week in, week out. If you do have time, please do like, share and subscribe, and feel free to leave a review, good, bad or otherwise. It all helps. Have a good one, and thanks again for listening. Until next time.